Good morning, or as my wife or her family would say in Brazil, bom dia. That's good morning in Portuguese. But I hope you have a wonderful Jesus-filled day. When I say that, I'm talking about the life of God Almighty flowing through you. Amen. I pray that today is your day of salvation. Today is the day the Lord has made. I used to sing that song so much as a kid, and that's I know some churches still do those kind of songs, but most of them have gotten into more of a worship with all the instruments and everything, and it's more fancy. But when I was a kid, man, we might have had one piano, and we were clapping our hands, singing, "This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made." I used to love that song. It felt great to sing that in church. But then I remember several times, after I grew up and then started living for God, how I would have some absolutely terrible days. And then I would think of that, but this is the day, or somebody would say that to me. They say, "Hey, but this is the day the Lord has made." And honestly, that would just irritate me. I'm like, well, man, he could have made a better one. I didn't usually say anything like that, but I sure thought it. It's like, if this is the day the Lord has made, good God, man. He could have made a better day than this one. This is horrible. And then I began to find out what that meant later on. That's not some giddy statement that, listen, you need to just be happy no matter what's going on. That's not what it's saying. I found out when the Bible says today is the day of salvation, it's talking about entering into his finished work. Hebrews chapter 4 talks about that. There is a Sabbath that remains for the people of God. It's called today. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. It's talking about believing in what he has finished and what he has accomplished. And I just want to focus on this one thing. Today is the day of salvation. And what does that mean? It means that it's not tomorrow. It means that it's not, we always often, well, I shouldn't say always, but often, we're always looking to the future. One day when our salvation comes, and we quote the Old Testament scripture, look to the hills from whence cometh your salvation, lift up your eyes. Or even in the New Testament, we quote, lift up your eyes for your redemption draws nigh. And everything is a focus on the future. Everything is, well, one day I'll be free. One day I'll be delivered. But what the word actually says is today is the day of your salvation. And salvation doesn't mean it's the day you become a Christian. It means today is the day of your deliverance, of your healing, of your wholeness, of your victory. Today. Not tomorrow, not when Jesus comes in the clouds, but today is the day. And why does it say that? It says that because Jesus already accomplished everything on that cross. By his stripes we are healed. Not we're going to be healed, we are healed. And faith is believing what you cannot yet see. So when we say this is the day the Lord has made, we're talking about the seventh day. We're talking about the time after God has finished all that needs to be done. Today is the day. So no matter what you see, no matter what you experience in the natural, what your senses are experiencing, you need to believe that he has finished the work. And the only way we're going to see that is when we believe it, when we confess it. And the more you believe and the more you confess, the more it has an opportunity to manifest. It has an opportunity to show up. That's what God wants. He wants to show up. He wants what he's accomplished to be evident in your life, to begin to come to the outside. Everything you need is on the inside of you. I know that may sound new age or weird because we haven't heard that in our churches, but it's in the Word. It says all things that pertain to life and godliness belong to you. He's given them to you. Where are they at? They're inside of your spirit. In the life of Jesus Christ, he has given unto you all things that pertain to life and godliness. You have the mind of Christ. You have all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All of that is inside of you. But he wants it to manifest on the outside. This is why we pray, let your kingdom come. It's not because the kingdom's not here. It's not because we're looking forward to a future salvation. He's saying, pray for the salvation I've already secured that's on the inside of you to be manifested on the outside. Because where's the kingdom? Jesus said the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. So when I pray, Lord, let your kingdom come, I'm praying for what is inside of me already, what Jesus has already finished and given me, to show out, to manifest on the outside. Amen. So next time you sing, this is the day the Lord has made, remember you're proclaiming his finished work. You're proclaiming, today is the day I'm healed. Today is the day I'm whole. Today is the day I'm delivered. And the more you understand that, the more you'll understand this is a proclamation of faith, so that what he has done can begin to manifest on the outside. But I pray you have a blessed, blessed day, because today is the day the Lord has made. This is the seventh day. He 6 days he did all of his work, and on the seventh day he rested, and he has never stopped. He finished it in 6 days. That's why the Bible even says, that's something else, I don't want to get too deep, so I'll go forever, but that's why the Word of God said that Jesus was crucified at the foundation of the world. Why? Because in those 6 days, God did it all. He planned it all. He set it all in motion. Everything was done. On the seventh day, he rested, and he's still resting. And it talks about in Hebrews 4, those who cease to labor, they do enter into his rest. Because this is the day of our victory. This is the day of our healing. And that, man, when I know it's easy to talk about that and say, amen, brother, but when it hits you, I remember one day that just hit me, and I was studying and praying, and all of a sudden I understood I don't have to wait. You know, it's not coming in the future. It's already here. It is really already done. And my desire, like Paul, man, I'm pressing into the mark of the high call. I want to see everything Jesus paid for manifesting. That's our goal. Our goal is not to hold on until something happens. Our goal is to see what has already happened manifest in our life, and what's happened in the spirit to manifest in the physical. And this is what we desire. So we confess and we believe in the power of his resurrection. We confess the seat he's gained on our behalf. We confess by his stripes we are healed. We confess I am delivered. If you see sin in you, you see all kind of junk, you confess I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Until you start seeing that righteousness manifesting. We've been taught the opposite. You know, we've been taught confess your sin. And that's another topic for another day. But that most of that time they're talking about in 1 John, where he says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive it. Most versions say sins, but it's actually harmatia. It's actually sin singular. If you'll look it up in the Greek, you'll understand that. It's sin singular. And the whole chapter is talking about those who say they have no sin. That's a lie. We all have harmatia, and we all need Jesus. The whole thing's talking about people that are rejecting Jesus Christ, saying they don't need him. And then it says, if we confess our harmatia, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's talking about coming to Jesus initially. It's talking about believing in him rather than in yourself. It's not talking about confessing your sins all the time. You're not supposed to be pronouncing your sins all the time. You're supposed to be pronouncing your righteousness. You're supposed to be proclaiming, by his stripes, I'm healed. Not saying, oh God, I'm a sinner. Oh God, I'm terrible. Oh God, I'm weak. Oh God, I'm sorry. Oh God. No, the more you're confessing the sin, the more you're confessing what he's already conquered, you know, the more that's what you're going to see. But the more you confess what he's accomplished, thank you, Father, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When I first heard that, it didn't make any sense to me at all. I thought, that is crazy, you know? It doesn't make any sense. Well, exactly. The real gospel does not make sense. If it does, it's not the real gospel. The real gospel, the things of the Spirit do not make sense to the natural man. If what you believe makes perfect sense to the natural man, you do not know the truth. The truth is, he has conquered hell, death, darkness. He has defeated sin on your behalf. Now you've got to learn to believe in what he's done. Confess what he's done until you see the power of what he's done manifesting in your life. Well, for time's sake, I won't keep going, but I love the living word of God. It's so amazing. The more you begin to understand what he's done, and the more you begin to understand how this thing really works. I mean, it takes time, it takes effort to really seek him. That's why it says in Hebrews 4, it says labor to enter into his rest. It's almost a contradiction. What do you mean? Work to rest? It doesn't even make sense. But there's such a rest for you, and a power and a peace and a glory for us, for all of us, if we'll really pursue him and press in to see that manifest. That's what we want. We want the kingdom of God manifesting in the earth. We want the will of God to be done in these earthen vessels, just like it's done in heaven. We want to see the power and the glory of God manifesting. And I pray that for you today in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.